Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat at what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
I'll just, like Sam, my brother Sam, who pushed the timer, I'm just about to push my timer. We're having a bit of a race here, so anyway, hey, Talofa, my name is Davis. You may or may not know me. Just part of the furniture here. Happy to share and speak into this verse. As I was preparing, before I came to ministry here at All Saints, I had the privilege of working for a company that worked in business and for over a period of like 7 years. And I was fortunate because I worked my way up and we got to travel lots. So I got to travel every month all the way up to kind of working on things like KPIs. Those of you who may know what that means, looking at how can we improve every month, all the statistics, all the numbers. And so I was fortunate enough to travel. Did some training, traveled nationally, but also internationally to do this. And you turn up to conference at the end of every month, and I'll go through the statistics, and I'll tell you how you've done. You do some training, which was usually, we'd usually do a bit of role play, which I don't know about you guys, but not my favorite thing to do. And then you usually have a speaker who will travel from either overseas or nationally to kind of encourage the team and just talk about how our month is going, preparing us for the next month. This popped into my mind because out of the blue, I got a call one day, and it wasn't the end of the month. And she said, "Hey, Davis, boss wants you to fly up early." And I went, "Okay, this is random. Yep, so here's your ticket, here's your flight, be ready, da-da-da, all the details." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, I'm pretty organized. I'd like to think so." And I'm usually up very early in the morning. That's not new to me. That's just part of my make. And so here I am planning, and as time ticked by, I turn up to the airport. I'm all ready to go, and whoosh, the plane had left. I'd missed my flight. Now, for those of you who remember, you may not, it happened to happen the same week where Aaron Cruden had missed his flight to go play for the All Blacks. And so when I got there, my boss goes, "Hey, Davis, how's it going?" I went, "Yeah, finally booked another flight, got there." I said, "Sorry, boss, you know." And he said, "It might be just a learning for you, mate. It's just one of those Aaron Cruden moments." Okay. And kind of that's kind of where the stage is kind of set at this part of Luke, this urgency that actually something's about to happen. And this moment popped up as I'm preparing, because in Luke 10, Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem. He knows what is coming: betrayal, injustice, and eventually the cross, which is he's going to have to walk that path. And still he pauses, he sends, he doesn't hold back, he doesn't protect, or he doesn't retreat. He releases ordinary people like you and I into ordinary places with an extraordinary purpose. That's where we are. Because the time is now, he says, the moment is urgent, the harvest is ready. Now we're in Luke, one of the Gospels. He's a doctor, a historian, has a heart for those who are kind of on the outsider. He's the only gospel writer that talks about this period, the sending of the 70 or 72. Some manuscripts differ by either talking about 70 or 72, and the symbolism of the number is powerful. Because Luke is trying to point to us that Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus is like Moses, appointing the 70 elders that share in God's spirit in Exodus to help lead the people of Israel. But Jesus is initiating a new Exodus, not from Egypt, but from fear, from sin, from brokenness, from shame. Just like the original Exodus, the Israelites, they grumbled all the time. They resisted, they rebelled, and there's a phrase that goes, they do what's right in their own eyes. We hear that right through the Old Testament. Similarly to Jesus' day, many of his contemporaries rejected him too. Despite his healings, his teachings, his powerful words, and the way he shows grace and mercy, they didn't want the kind of kingdom he offered. But still, Jesus sends us. And so I kind of want to break this part into three sections, this whole from 1 to 20 in Luke 10. Before I do that, I'm just going to quickly pray. Lord, just speak to us. Stir our hearts afresh. Help your words bring life to us again. Amen. So I'm going to break it into three parts, what I call the three M's: the mission, the message, the motivation. Okay, and Jesus is going here. So he says, go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse, a bag, sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. After naming the urgency of this task, and after naming it, the harvest is ready and the workers are few. Jesus is quite blunt here. And you're being sent out like lambs among wolves doesn't sound very kind of attractive in any sense. They're being sent out not like warriors with shields, not influencers with big platforms. They're sent out as lambs, dependent, vulnerable. And he sends us too. But faith-filled. He strips away their fallback plans, their kind of plan Bs and plan Zs. Don't take a purse, no bag, no sandals. Don't waste your time in small talk. Because the mission is urgent. The kingdom is near, he says, and they need to move now. N.T. Wright, one of the most profound New Testament scholars, talks about how this mirrors the patterns of the prophet, that we're sent empty-handed, but full of God's Spirit, laser-focused on the task. It's not about being prepared in our strength. It's actually about learning to depend on him. This is Jesus forming his new prophetic movement, people shaped not by comfort, but by calling. And calling always comes with a risk. In our culture, in our time, I think this is where we find some of those tensions rubbed against us. Because in our world, we're busy. We could say yes to everything else around us, but maybe the kingdom thing that God is asking us. We're independent. Hey, I remember talking at 7 and talking about how, you know, back in the day, because I love music, I don't know about yous, but back in the day, you used to wait for your favorite song. And you used to have a cassette, these little things called cassette tapes, and you had to wait for hours. You couldn't just, you know, you didn't know when your song came up, and then you push record. And you'll wait, and then you'll get that song, and then you'll cherish it, and you'll love it. Then came CDs. Now I can just literally, I can get not just that song of my artist, I can get the whole album. I can get actually other artists that sound like that artist, and I can have all their albums in just a click. So everything is dependent. I can do it myself. It's me, myself. But here they're asked to don't go alone. And lastly, we might feel that we want our comfort. We want calling without cost. But Jesus is clear. The kingdom isn't built on convenience. It's built on courage. It's not asking us to be ready. The question is, are you and I willing as followers of Jesus? This is not new to me. As I grew up in a Christian home, I remember in school holidays, as early as probably five, my father was a farmer, and he worked for a brethren out in a farm in Otaki. And we would wake up, even in school holidays, early. I'm talking about 5 a.m, as a whole family, we would then go to the farm. And depending on what season it was, we were either picking strawberries or berries, and my father had this gift of agriculture, and he would talk to the owner, and they'll kind of talk, and I'll say, hey, this block is ready, it's ripe to be picked. And he'll send us out, and we'll pick. And it made me think about Jesus here sending people out there. If the fruit is ripe, it either gets picked or it rots. And it's an image of what maybe the kingdom work is like sometimes. That if we wait too long, we can miss the windows. Also, our mission, if it makes us think about what's our mission, what's our assignment? Not always overseas, I'd like to suggest. Sometimes it's in our own homes. For some of us, it's our own children. For others, it's the sports coach on the sideline. It's the staff room. It's with our friendship groups. For some of us, it's our friends who are curious and struggling, a neighbor who's lonely. If we're followers of Jesus, we're sent there. And Jesus sends them two by two, which means that you're not meant to do this alone. So that's the mission. Number two, the message. When you enter a house, first say peace to the house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, they'll return to you. At the heart of this movement, Jesus is calling his disciples to peace. Not just the absence or conflict or just the peace that we share here, but this idea that the fullness and the wholeness. The best way I can describe it to you is I live in a household with like four boys, including me, five. And we love to eat. Yeah, my little boy here was crying because he's already had four Weet-Bix, two apples, snacks, and two yogurts, and he's still hungry. And the only way I can kind of look at this word shalom, this wholeness, is at our house we like to have pizza. And if a piece of pizza is missing and we haven't had karakia, it is war at my house. For the boys, oh, you ate pizza. This idea of wholeness, whole pizza, is that this is what the kingdom of God is doing. It's making everything whole. It's bringing peace. It's making everything complete. And this is the image of shalom that I think about, that nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything is as it should be. Some commentaries say that in this space, in this time where Jesus is talking, that the Israelites didn't want peace. They didn't want peace with the Samaritans. They despised them. They didn't want to love the Romans. They wanted to drive them out. They didn't want a new revolution. They wanted a holy war, a violent fix. But Jesus sends his disciples with the opposite message. Not to overthrow our enemies, but to offer peace. We see the struggle in our culture, right now, right here, right now, where we would choose retaliation over reconciliation. We would choose to cancel when I struggle to forgive someone. I'd rather win a fight than make peace. But Jesus doesn't send us out to argue with people, but to offer people shalom. To be candles, not loudspeakers. to shine, not to shove. And we saw Tessa in one of the prayers here was, may her light shine. And this takes me back to a story we had. I told my youth this one day, and I was picking up Ruby from daycare. And I get in there, and the teachers are huddling, they're talking about something. And I kind of go up, and I say, hey, how's it going? And they said, oh, we just witnessed something interesting, Davis. And I said, what's that? And he goes, oh, Ruby at this stage was only about 4 or 3 years old. And she goes, hey, we were wondering, it was playtime, and it got real quiet all of a sudden. And we're wondering, what are the kids up to? And we see them gathering around Ruby on a table. And then we hear her sharing. And I said, oh, really? What's going on? And she, all they could hear was, Jesus loves you. He lives in your heart. And the teachers just stood there and just listened. No one interrupted. And that's peace, and it's giving the message in its own form, its own way, at different season, its own time. And this message also comes with a warning. Some will welcome the peace. Some will ignore it. Some will even push the peace away. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me and rejects the one that sends me. When the kingdom comes near, it does demand a decision at some stage. We don't choose when that happens for people. We just provide an opportunity. And it's the ache, I think, in God's heart, not anger, but longing of his heart, is that he wants to gather, but not everyone wants to be gathered. But still, we are called to offer, anyway, peace and speak peace. Last one of the M's, so we've had the mission, the message, and last is motivation. So they return back real quickly. The 72 come back after their period of time. And they say, hey, look, Lord, even the demons submit to us. And he replies, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Here the disciples are buzzing about the spiritual authority that they carry, that even demons submit. Jesus affirms them and then quickly pivots. Do not rejoice in the spirit submit to you, but rejoice that the names are written in heaven. He's acknowledging this real big cosmic shift. Satan's power loosening as God sends him down. But Jesus doesn't actually want to fixate them on that. Because power can puff us up. Well, it does to me sometimes. Success can distract. Even in ministry, over my time, it can become about performance. But Jesus quickly roots them back into not what they do, but who they are. Over my time here as a youth worker and overseeing, and I've had the privilege of watching my own kids, but so many other young people either perform on stage or on sports fields or give speeches. And the part that gets me every time is the moment when they notice the loved ones watching them. It's not even the performance. They're probably not the best singer, not the star on the sports team. They might have slurred their words. But it's when they catch the eye of a loved one smiling back at them. I think that's what God is like. He's not watching our performance like a judge. He's smiling because we're his. Rejoice that your name is written. Jesus is grounding them to say that don't let your success define you. Let your belonging define you. Let that be your motivation. We don't serve because we're accepted. We don't serve to be accepted, sorry. We serve because we are already accepted. We don't go on mission to earn a name for ourselves. We go because our name is already written in love. That's our motivation, is our identity, that we are loved sons and daughters. But the question I came out with as I was preparing this is, what motivates such a God to step into our mess? What drives him to send his son towards betrayal and even the cross? One word for all of us: love. Real love risks. Real love commits. Real love serves. Real love forgives. Real love steps in when others step away. Real love gives even when it hurts. Real love says, hey, Davis, even if you run, I'll still come after you. I don't know about you, but I know I can't even live a little bit up to that love or that expectation. But the beauty is God knows that for you and I. For God so loves the world that he gave his only son, so that you and I don't perish, but we find our belonging in him. We are his beloved. We are transforming to be more and more like Jesus. If anything should take the heavy lifting off our shoulders, that Jesus has done it all, that we walk as sons and daughters, free, knowing he's made a way, a bridge. As I close, over the past couple of weeks, I think we'll introduce the illustrations of fences and wells, and Brendan brought that back in last week. And I think about Jesus' words that I didn't come to kind of demolish the law, I came to fulfill it. And I've been thinking about, in doing so, he becomes the well of living waters. And by becoming the well, he also bridges us relationally with the Father and with each other. Now he calls us to be bridges to others. Not just as rule enforcers, but life givers, guiding them to the well. Helping others find the wellspring of life. The challenge always for you and I, followers of Jesus, is that, so what do we do now? If we truly say we belong and we believe and we're becoming more like Jesus, then we must also live like bridges. Mission, we go together, we're sent in twos. Make it a family mission. I involve my kids. There was a text, we were at school holidays, we happened to be in the movie theatre, got a message from Sam, and Sam goes, pray for Val and Steve, and she's, you know, going through having baby. And we literally on the spot, you can ask my kids, I said, hey guys, we're praying out loud, we've got this. It was Ruby, Manasseh, little Betty, and Uriah. We just in out loud prayed right there in the movie theatre. We make it part of our life. It's who we are. It's who we become. And they just did, without even questioning. Just, yeah, Lord, you know. We make it part of our family mission. We get our kids involved in big or small ways, whatever works for your capacity. We look at what fields of mission that we're called in, because not everyone's called to be up here, or, you know, there's different things that we can do, different places. Partner with your small groups. Pray together. Youth groups, crew, data, all that sort of stuff. Missions everywhere. The message we offer is always peace. Know we are meant to be speaking peace. Have an idea, ask God. Share the kingdom and share the well that the kingdom is here and available to those in those spaces. And lastly, if you're struggling for motivation, maybe you need to be reminded that you're loved. That we don't serve for approval. We serve from our identity of being with Jesus. Sounds super easy. There's some sort of protocol or steps, but actually they're all entwined. The mission, the message, and the motivation. Every season counts, young, old. Everything is important. How do we find our spaces to action those? So family, as we go, as we look at this text and go together as bridges, we go on mission to share peace. And as we do so, we grow as sons and daughters of the living God. We grow ourselves in the way. We don't have to do it alone. And there's always someone waiting for the invitation. Not just back then, I think Jesus is still sending us today. And the question that will always remain for you and I, are we willing to go? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that your word is true then, is true now, and forever will be true. That it's out of your love that you draw us into yourself, and that you pay the ultimate price so we can draw others to yourself. What are the lovers like this, Lord? Lord, we pray for the mission field. Pray for the times where we're struggling to find where the mission field is for us. What does that look like for us? Father, through the power of your Spirit, speak to us. We pray for the message, Lord, that we would ourselves find peace. Peace in who we are and who you call us to be. Speak to us afresh. Stir our hearts again to experience and to share you afresh. In your mighty name, Jesus.